You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Under New Management. I actually looked up a little article on this. Just bear with me and read you this. Under new management typically means that a business or organization has changed its leadership or ownership. Okay, so these are not random things I'm reading you. Changed its leadership or ownership. This phrase is often used to inform customers, clients, or the public about significant changes in the way the business is run. Here's some key implications. Change in leadership, new managers or owners. The phrase indicates that the previous management or ownership has been replaced with new individuals who will be running the business. Fresh start or new direction, revised operations. It often implies that the new management will bring changes to the business's operations, policies, or strategy, possibly improving service or introducing new features. Marketing or branding, positive rebranding. This phrase can be a marketing tool to attract customers or clients by signaling that changes have been made for the better. Restoring or improving reputation, addressing past issues. It can also be used to distance the current management from any past problems or negative experiences associated with the previous management. So as a Christian, if you put a t-shirt on that said under new management, would there be any proof of that in your life? A lot of people get saved quietly. They might even get baptized publicly, but then they don't live the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Savior. They like the idea of have a ticket to get to heaven, but then they take control of the business of their life, everything about their life back over, and they wonder why it doesn't work. You would think this is just something that a little child says, but how often do we hear the phrase, you're not the boss of me, right? Well, you hear little kids saying this to each other, maybe adults saying this to each other. We're trying to tell somebody, hey, you're destroying your life. You know what, dude? You're not the boss of me. Well, who is the boss of me? And who has the authority to speak to my life, through my life, and call things out because there is new ownership, there's new management in my life, and you are either, and I am either yielding to that, him being the boss of my life, or I'm not. Now, before we read all these verses and these quotes, let me just kind of preface all this by saying this. If you're not a Christian, your life is screwed up because you're just screwing it up. You're on your own. You have not engaged God. You say, yeah, but I talk to God. If you don't know him personally, if he hasn't come to live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit because you believe Jesus died on the cross, buried, and raised from the dead for you, then he may be near you or around you. He is not in you. And if he's not in you, you have no hope. But even if he moves in you as a Christian, if you do not yield the authority of your life to his authority in your life, him managing your life, then it is going to go very poorly. It may go back to what it was almost similarly to right before you became a Christian. And you say, all these Christians you meet, and they go, I became a Christian, but it seems like I'm just the same person I used to be. Who's running your life? And are you yielding to any challenge, any encouragement to do the right thing? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit inside of you? And when you go to do what you used to do, what you want to do that never worked in the first place, do you tap into him and say, Lord, we say this word, Lord, help me. Well, if you're going to say, Lord, help me, make him Lord so that he can help you. So simple question for me and you, each of us today. Jesus is Lord. The question is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord of your life? And you say, well, yeah. Then if he is Lord, if he is the boss, if he is the master of our lives, then we are doing what he says to do. We are thinking what he wants us to think. We are going where he wants us to go. We are saying what he wants us to say. Our plans are his plans. Our life is his life. We are owned. I'll get into all these verses. And it's not just that he is Lord of our lives or not. He is Lord of the universe. He is Lord of everything. There is no one greater than him. So why would you not want him controlling your life, leading your life? Why would you not want to follow him? Because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life you're looking for. So let's start in Daniel chapter 7. Read a bunch of verses and see if we can apply this. Before we even get into this, let me give you an example of this. I did a message recently about giving. After that message, a person came to me and said, "Can I meet you at the office this afternoon about 1:30 or so?" I said, "Okay." Went to lunch, went to the office. Person showed up and they had a bag and brought it in, set it on the table with me. And the person said, "This is my stash." I hadn't seen what was in the bag. I said, "Is this drugs?" He said, "No, no drugs." I said, "Is anything in these bags stolen?" "No, sir, nothing is stolen." So he dumped the bag out on the table and it was cash and kilos of silver. And he said that God had instructed him to go get his quote unquote stash and give it to the church. So the cash, you can deposit the cash. You say, "Okay, well, now there's the complication of the silver." So I said, "Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do with the silver to make sure we maximize this for the church? It's not mine. It's not, you know, it's yours." Called a friend of mine, knew he might have someone that would be interested in buying the silver. And immediately he texted me back and he said, "Call this girl," his assistant. Contacted her. Turns out her brother was in that business and made an appointment, and he came to see me. We're sitting there going through all these coins, all these kilo, you know, bars, just silver everywhere. And he's adding it all up, looking at market value, and realizes it's a church and going to do, you know, the right thing and be very, very more than fair. So in the middle of that conversation, I spoke his name and I said, "I don't think this is about the silver." And I said, "If you dropped dead in that chair right now, where would you go?" And he said, "Well, I hope to heaven." And I said, "Has anybody ever told you you could be sure?" "No, not really." And I said, "Why do you think you'd make heaven?" "I've been a good person." He was raised in a religion where it was all about works. So I share the gospel with him, and he prays and becomes a Christian. Now you say, "Well, why would you tell that story? You haven't even read any verses yet." Because this is what the whole thing is going to be about. What does the lordship of Christ mean? It means that everything you own is his. And so when one individual is prompted, because Jesus is Lord, one individual is prompted, and the Holy Spirit says, "Go get your stash," which translates in the Greek to "my stash." It's all his. And he says, "Go get it and give it to the church." You say, "Well, the church needs funds," and that's what it was about. What if it's not just about that? What if the dots connect in such a way that when you obey in one area, it dominoes into a random, you think it's a random person. It's never a random person. And I told him, I said, "There's no way we're sitting here unless someone has donated silver of all things." It's never happened. Called his sister, she got all emotional. She called her boss, who was my friend. The whole thing spun up, and you say, well, that's crazy. Why don't you live a crazy life? When Jesus is Lord, things get crazy in the best of ways. Because things start happening, you're like, "There's no way." And you're prompted to say something. You hear me, "I'm going to die," or "You're going to die," hearing me tell these stories, and I'm trying to jumpstart us into this life that he intended for us to live. It's fishing. People say to me, "Well, you know what? You just have a, you know, it's just you." No, you ain't catching fish because you ain't fishing. And there's no way, if Jesus is Lord, that you're not going to be fishing, because he's going to use your life. Fishing, planting seeds, watering, something, but something's going to be going on and you'll have stories. So Daniel 7:14, "Then to him it was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. So, messianic prophecy here. There's no one else who fits this but Jesus. Now, go to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Now, people tell me they read the Bible and they say, I read it, but I don't understand. I'm about to read you a verse that if you don't get this, you might need to go for a scan, a brain scan. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I will read it very slowly. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, double lording on me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? If I am the Lord, if I'm in control, if I have all authority, if I'm the guy, then if I tell you to do something, why in the world would you acknowledge me as Lord and know that means that I must know what I'm doing and then not do what I tell you to do? And we burn our lives up. Oh Lord, help me. If some cry says, oh Lord Jesus, we even throw a Lord Jesus in there. Help us, Lord. Lord, help us. Or Lord, help us. You know, however you're using it, we're throwing the Lord around and he helps us. And he says, okay, I helped you, but here's the deal. You're reading the scriptures. I say to do something. I'm the Lord. Do it. Stop calling me Lord if you're not going to do it. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Now, people don't like this imagery because of our nation and slavery and all this stuff. And the thought of me being bought and owned, we think, well, that's a terrible thing. But the scripture says he bought us. It means he owns us. He's the master. We are the slaves. What rights do slaves have? You say, well, I have rights. You can't mix your American thinking with biblical thinking. You have rights as an American citizen, but there are certain rights you do not have before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have the right to remain silent and do what he says, and thanking that he's honored you with truth and with direction and with purpose and with meaning. You say, but I don't want anybody controlling me. I don't want anybody owning me. You've let the devil do that your whole life. You say, well, he doesn't control my life. The scripture has verse all over the place about this. People taken captive by Satan to do his will. Just because your cell block is really luxurious doesn't mean you're not in prison. Go open the door and see the bars. Then you'll figure out where you live. You don't come and go as you please. All these people say, well, I could quit drinking anytime. Okay, let's do it today. Here's a good day. Let's try today. And then before midnight, a fifth is gone. Oh, well, I guess you changed your mind. Well, yeah, I changed my mind. I didn't want to quit today, but I could if I wanted to. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever it is, you say, oh, I'm in control. Let me tell you something. If you really dig down deep and we really get honest with each other, very few people in the world are in control of their sin. Most people's sin is running them. They're not running their sin. And the only way to shut that down is for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in with power and might and give you the faith to say yes to him and no to that sin. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He flees from you, and you get on with your life. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Same vein. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? My body does not belong to me. And there's passages in scripture where it talks about husbands and wives and that your body doesn't belong to you either. My wife belongs to me. I belong to her. My physical body does not belong to me. It belongs to him. It's where he lives. It's his house. He does what he wants to do in his house. And if he says to me, this is not going to go on in my house anymore, I either say, yes, sir, it's gone, or no, sir, and now we got a problem. We don't want anybody telling us what we put in our bodies. We don't want anybody telling us what we do with our bodies. And then the Holy Spirit of God shows up and moves in and says, you're under new management. This is all going to change. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's going to go. He cleans house. And then you go, wow, I haven't had like a real Coke in a long time. I was miserable for a while, and I took a sip of a real Coke the other day. Oh my gosh. Whew. I can tell you why it'll clean your battery, you know. Man. So am I missing anything? It's hard to explain all this stuff to you if you're on the wrong side so far of this. But you think, well, if I lose my life, I'll lose it. He says, no, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And so then you do it his way for a while and you go, I thought I was going to miss all this a lot more. I feel better. I sleep better. I have peace. I have joy. I had none of that before. Why didn't I do this a long time ago? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, so because all that's true, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this is a simple way to approach this. You go to eat something. You say, Lord, is this okay? Yeah, it's okay. So you get, and you say, well, Lord, that pie looks good. Can I have a piece of pie? Sure, you can have a piece of pie. And then it happens. Then you say, ma'am, could you bring me just one more piece of pie? But you didn't ask for permission. Because if you'd asked permission, the Lord would say, no, I think we're good with one. Oh, maybe you are, but there's two of us, right? So one for me, now one for you. And then it starts. And then you feel like crap. And you wonder, why didn't I listen to him? My favorite, and if you're cool on all this, who am I? All these people say, oh, no, I have a glass of wine with my meal. Oh, okay, that's what he told you to do. There must be another hole in that bottle. I see the one at the top, but you said you were only having one glass of wine. Where'd all that wine go? Well, I was thirsty. And now you've had two, now you've had a bottle, now you don't feel so great, or you feel really great, but now you're drunk with wine, which is excess. And now you got a problem. Because if you had said, Lord, am I okay having a glass of wine? And he said, yes, you have a glass of wine. But then it went to two. You didn't ask about the second glass. And now you're out of bounds. And you said, yeah, but he's okay. There's grace. Man, we are crazy people negotiating. We're like little kids trying to figure out how to hide what we're doing from our parents. Except in this case, the parent lives inside of us. There's nothing to hide. This is as silly as a kid doing this and saying, you can't see me because I can't see you. You can't see me. Are you crazy? He sees it all. Have I gotten too personal yet? You go shopping. You say, well, I got money. I can afford it. It's not your money. So you go in a mall because you feel bad. How much of this is going on? I feel lonely. I'm a little depressed. I'll go buy a bunch of crap I don't want. And in the moment, it feels good. And then you go home with about $3,000 worth of clothes and you hang them in your closet. And then you die and your family comes in and goes, oh, look at all these brand new tags. I guess they bought it for us. Therapeutic shopping. You say, well, everybody's doing it. Comfort food. There's all this stuff people do. It doesn't mean it's what he wants you doing. Why don't you skip the shopping and give it to the poor? 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I don't do this a lot, and you don't have to if you can't, especially. But let's do this together on the count of three. See if you can say Jesus is Lord. One, two, three. You say, well, see, that was easy. Not so easy. It's easy to say. It's hard to live. But people without the Spirit of God will not say those words. You say, well, that's silly. Get somebody to try. I find out really quick who somebody is. All I got to do is say, who is Lord? And they say, what do you mean? I'll let you tell me. And they can't say the words. Because if he's not Lord to them, they will not say that he's Lord because he's not. Now, most people in this room pretty easily proclaimed, Jesus is Lord. How about a new t-shirt that reflects that? Jesus is Lord under new management. It's not my restaurant. It's not my life. It's not my anything. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Some of you know this one by heart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If that's true, the only way that's true is when Jesus is Lord of your life and everybody sees that. Old things passed away. Everything's new. Just a few more and we're done. Philippians 2:9. This is the stuff. Philippians 2:9 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. Talking about Jesus. And given him, it doesn't say given him a name. It says, and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You must acknowledge Jesus as Lord, because even if you don't, he is and you will. Whether you can now or you like it or not, the day will come when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You may end up in hell, but before you do, you will confess that Jesus is Lord. 1 Peter 4, verse 3, and then one out of Revelation, and you know I'm done. 1 Peter 4, 3, and this is just a little bit of encouragement to you if you choose to go this path. 1 Peter 4:3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, just in other words, doing what the culture does, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. What does it say? If you change and you're under new management and Jesus is Lord and you go a different direction, the Bible literally says they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. So you say, well, if I do this, I'm going to lose friends. And I keep telling you this, if they're your friends, you can't lose them. Yeah, but when I come in, they make fun of me. They mock me. Well, that doesn't sound like a friend, does it? Seems like a friend would respect you no matter what. Almost no matter what. So if you make this change, things are going to change between you and God. Internally, they're going to change. Everything about your life is going to be different. But you may lose some friends. Your friends may change. I had lunch just the other day with a guy, and his brother showed up out of nowhere, sat down, and I've spent time with his brother as well. And there's a basic desire to follow Jesus in his life. But at lunch, man, he dropped about 4 or 5 F-bombs, and I was like, okay, you know, kind of like, you say, well, but what are you, you're judging him. Like, no, whatever's in your heart's going to come out your mouth, right? So I'm not judging him. I just thinking I'm going to sit down with him and go, you know, I don't think you're doing okay. What do you mean? How do you know that? Well, you know, when the F-bomb Air Force is bombing my lunch, I know it's not normal for you, right? You normally would not say that. So what's going on? Because out of the heart, a man speaks. But then I talked to his brother, and what did his brother tell me? He's running with a bunch of knuckleheads. You're going to be like the 5 people you spend the most time with. And if you don't like who you are right now, then find you some godly friends, some people who have made Jesus Lord under new management, trying to go where you say you're trying to go.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
And the last one is Revelation 17:14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Hard to even read this stuff. For he, talking about the Lamb, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. I would like to be identified as someone who is chosen and faithful with the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and that anybody that knew me before or knew you before If you put a t-shirt on that says under new management, everybody can go, clearly, this is not the same place. This is not the same person. This is not the same ownership. Everything has changed. All things are new. What is this? And the only answer is Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.